Hello, podcast listeners. This is Daniel Friedlander, and this is the Nintendo Podcast, or Lithcast, episode 31 for April 29th, 2007. Hello, podcast listeners. As previously stated, this is Lithcast episode 31, and it's April 20. What did I say it was? It was April 29th, 2007. I sort of feel bad. This is probably the only episode I've done during April. So I sort of feel bad about not having done a podcast this month. I don't know why. Must have just gotten tied up or something. Anyways. April 29th. So, we got some stuff to talk about. Some of which is about the forums. No, just kidding. A little bit, anyway. But before I get into what we're going to talk about, let me just tell you about that song you just heard. So, that song, and that sort of relates to one of our discussion topics today. Probably a very big discussion topic today. That song is the song that you hear when you battle the leader of Team Galactic. And this is a song from Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. It's a game that I have at the moment, and I have both versions out of tradition. Some people say, oh, well, why do you get both versions? And believe it or not, it's actually not so much so that I can catch all the Pokemon, but it's rather my first video game I really got into was Pokemon Red and Blue version, and I bought Red version or I bought Blue version. I bought one of the two, and I said, "Boy, you know, I really would love to have the other one." And because I thinking it was a different game because it was so good. I think it was Blue version is the one I had first. And I had got Blue version and I thought, oh, what a great game. I've got to get the other one. I thought, oh, it'll be so different. It'll be great. So out of sort of, you know, I don't want to call it out of stupidity, but it sort of was. I, you know, wasn't much in a game. I didn't realize, oh, I could go to IGN or, well, I don't know if IGN was around then, but I didn't realize I can go to some gaming site like that and just search it. And it would just, you know, I could figure out, oh, well, it's the same game. So it's just a different color in game, because this is back in the Game Boy Color days when everything was sort of one color. I don't know if you guys can hear any background noise. I have sort of like a, I don't know what, if you want to call it a limiter or a gate or a compressor. No, I don't have a compressor. I have a limiter though. So there is some background noise, but I'm trying to get the limiter to kill that. And so because of that, I'm working in pretty close proximity to the microphone. Yeah. Anyways. So I just explained that song. And so there you go. So there you go. Hopefully, you know what? It's funny. We've got kind of a lot of weird news, but anyways, not the point. So, before I begin the news, we're just gonna do the usual stuff. Let's just talk about the Let's talk about the forums. All right. So, first, as far as the forums goes, is we have passed the 25,000 post mark. We now have 25,731 posts, so we're about to get our 26,000th post. I myself have passed the 1,000 post mark, and I know Mr. Storm's just laughing. He's like, "You only have 1,000?" And all right, Mr. Storm's our other moderator, by the way. He's been pretty good. He's been actually not pretty good. He's been great. He's been a great mod. So, anyways, and with such great mods comes great forums. That's sort of a reversal. Never mind. Of that star of the Spider-Man saying. Anyways, the reason I say that is because we've got great forums. Does that mean you should join? Yeah, it does. And the way you can do that is you can go to lithcast.com and click on the forums button, or just go to lithcast.com/forums. That's lithcast.com/forums. And so that's what you can do there. It's great. We have a community of about 250 members, and got a lot of posts to read. You make friends on the forums. It's a lot more personal than Nintendo's Insider forums, to be honest with you. So anyways, the next thing you could also do is you also could just go to lithcast.com, and at the moment we've got a story up. It's a review of Bomberman Land, and I didn't review it. I'm not taking the credit. Bill reviewed it. I hope I'm saying his last name right. It's Bill McAddy, and he reviewed it. He's sort of our guy who's on the Nintendo scene in Japan, and so he's doing the Japanese reviews, and it's really great because on lithcast.com, when he writes a column, and I think he's written about two or three, and he wrote one about Club Nintendo, which I'll have to post if I get it. And he writes stuff that, the problem is, Nintendo, and I'll give you an example, because I was just talking to Nintendo, some of our PR contacts over at Nintendo's PR firm, but I'll give you that example in a sec. The Nintendo of Japan, in a way, is a lot of a mystery to us in the United States, or even in Europe, or in Australia. I can't speak for the Australians or Europeans, but it really seems like Nintendo is kind of a mystery. And I'm speaking from Nintendo's probably biggest or second biggest division here, Nintendo of America. Nintendo of Japan is sort of a mystery. And I think there's some neat things that they do, like Club Nintendo, which is a really great service where, it's sort of like if you go to Nintendo.com here in the States, you can register your games and stuff, and you can you can participate in the message boards. But Nintendo sometimes will send out gold trophies. They send out these Wii remotes that actually double as remote controls. I actually do have one of those, one of those fake Wii remotes. I did manage to get my hands on one of those. They were generous to me, so I did get one of those. I can't, for the life of me though, I can't figure out how to get it to work on the TV because it's Japanese. It's probably using a different transmission system. I don't know what to tell you about that. But what's cool is that we've got a guy in Japan who knows all about this stuff, and it's very cool. And he speaks perfectly good English. You read his column. I don't think he's Japanese. I'm not sure, but. His columns are great. I definitely encourage you to go to lithcast.com, look at the RSS feed on there, look through the archives. He's got a few columns, and we also have Toxic writing a column now. His dissenter column. We need to get him to start writing that again, but Anyways, so I guess that's all I'll say about the forums. And I will be putting up, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I have been putting up some videos and up on lithcast.com. You know, these are just videos I've done throughout the, these are just videos I'm just doing. Like, you know, mostly it's little sort of tours through games like Kirby Squeak Squad, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Spirit Caller. You know, it's games like that, and, you know, I sort of do a little walkthrough through them. And then beyond that, I've done, you know, I've put up my interview with Mark Boyle on there. I don't think I have the Opera browser. No, I don't. We have the unboxing. We got a few things up there. So anyways, you know, you get the idea. But I will be putting up some video maybe later this week or maybe next week. I've been playing Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, as I said, and I really liked it. I'm actually pretty far in it. I mean, Pokemon's one of those games that I can actually get far in. I mean, it took me a gazillion, you know, for it to be Twilight Princess, it took me a, you know, month or two, but I don't know. Because, I mean, you know, I should say, strict when I actually got serious about playing it. But, you know, I mean, personally for me, that's like the best time I ever beat Zelda in, but, I mean, any Zelda console or a handheld one, but still. For Pokemon, I can usually either they're just shorter or I can just beat them faster. I don't know. I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but I'm gonna probably put a little video up a little bit later on lithcast.com about it. Very good game, if you ask me. Now, was it worth waiting three years for a real one? I don't know, but we'll talk about that in momentarily. So just one more thing about Lithcast before I get into the news is, well, actually, I guess two more things. One is that this has been pointed out to me. Our contact form isn't working. If you go to the contact page and you go to text contact and you go to submit, it'll say, oh, error on line 14. That means I didn't get it. So if you guys have submitted stuff that way thinking I have gotten it, no. If you don't get a syntax error, which I think is very unlikely, then I don't know. I don't know exactly. I was trying to figure out the code. I actually looked at line 14. Line 14 didn't look so bad, but if any of you guys are PHP wizards here, if you guys take a look at the content form, you guys have any suggestions of how to change it, please let me know. Because I want our contact form working. Of course, there are other ways to contact me, of course. Contact this podcast. You could go to withcast.com, click on the contact button, and go to audio contact. And you need a microphone, you need Flash on your browser to do that. But you can record a little audio message, and, you know, we'll play it on the podcast. That's fine. That works for me. By the way, this sort of segues into the next point, which is that the person that brought up the audio contact was, I don't know what his name is, but he uses the alias Cat Facts. Not Cat Fats, Cat Facts. Well, Cat Facts has recently opened up a new website. We're now an affiliate with them. So if you go to our affiliate page, you'll see them on our affiliate page. And they have got the website, he's got the website pokepone.com. So that's pokepwn.com. And it's kind of, you know, it's an up and coming Pokemon website. They do have a guy that I know who he is. His name's, I don't know what his real name is, but his alias is Catter, Kater. I know who he is. He had a podcast. I don't know if he still does it. It's called Cattercast. I know he's sort of a Pokemon nut. I don't know if he's a nut, but he's kind of, from what I've seen, it's all of his stuff he does seems to be about Pokemon. So Catter's up there. And it's a pretty neat site. I mean, you know, it's just gotten started. So, and they were expected to launch their podcast yesterday, or in a few days. And I mean, you can look at some of the stuff, and they've got so many things. They say Pokemon Trozzi to be released in South Korea. Anyways, the next thing is, it says, what's the next thing? Oh, okay. They've got a game called Pokemon Batrio, which is a new Pokemon arcade game featuring 3-on-3 battles, was announced. Well, I mean, that was announced, I think, a while ago. But anyways, it's got some stuff. They got some forums, I believe. They got a podcast. But I'm just mentioning, because they're a new affiliate. So just mentioning them, they're a new affiliate of ours. So good luck to you guys. Good luck to you, Pokepone.com, and good luck, Cat Facts, Cater, and the rest of you. So, last thing about Lithcast. We've got the Lithcast store still up. I just have to plug it. I sound sort of weird when I say, oh, bye. Because you know what? We don't make very much profit. It's funny. You say, oh, that stuff in that Lithcast store is so darn expensive. It's funny. How much we make, so little in markup. It's like ridiculous. I mean, if you ask me what I prefer, I'd prefer that you guys click on ads at the end of the videos. And if you guys, I would prefer that over buying, because we make more per person buying stuff, but just click on the ads at the end of the videos, because if that's, thing is, we need to support this podcast, and that's really why we're selling merchandise. I'm not doing it to make any money. I hope you guys know this, but this podcast makes absolutely no money, because all the profits of this podcast, it's podcast like 15, but all the profits of this podcast go to Child's Play Charity. I don't keep it for myself. I don't make a dime on this podcast. So I just use it, whatever we need to sustain the forums and the servers, we do that, but any profits, it's all donated to Child's Play Charity. And if you want, that's Penny Arcade's charity for giving video games to hospitals. So whenever you click on an ad or you buy something from the Lithcast store, know that it's either going to go to keeping the site up, and none of it's going in my wallet. It's all going to a good cause. So because frankly, I don't need the money from the podcast. It's a podcast. It's a fun hobby. Anyways, so let's get into the news, shall we? So the first little bit of news, there's been two major game releases since we've last spoken. First one, Paper Mario, April 9th. Paper Mario came out. I was in surgery the day it came out. But it did come out. I do not have it as a game. I'm not sure if we're going to get it on loan. We might. We will see. When we do, if and when we do, I will let you know how I like it. At the moment, on loan, I've got SSX Blur for the Wii, and that's it. And so I think we've got Yoshi's Island for the DS coming, but they don't loan me these games usually right after they come out. So SSX Blur is what we have, and I'll tell you my opinion of SSX Blur is, aside from the controls are a little slippery, but the thing is, I don't think it's any different from any other. I mean, SSX is just sort of that way. I think as far as SSX goes, it's got to be one of the coolest SSX games ever. In case you're wondering what SSX is, it's a snowboarding and skiing game, and you got these characters, and you do all these really cool tricks. You can do the Uber tricks. It's a snowboarding game, basically. And it's for the Wii. It's kind of neat. You tilt the nunchuck for turns, and you flip the Wii remote for flips, and press A, B, and yeah. So that's sort of how it works. I like it so far. Like I said, the controls are a little slippery for me. I mean, I'm not saying it's terrible. It's not like, see, for me, control doesn't always bother me so much. You know, there are some, unless it's like a blatantly bad control, like the way that the controls are in SSX, there, you know, it's not blatantly bad. I mean, there are certain games which, I mean, like for example, WarioWare, not WarioWare, almost said that. This Wario Master of Disguise just had, the controls weren't bad, but there was just some things that were just, they were just, they were sort of counterintuitive. So for example, to for certain things like run, I mean, I'm sure for what's an example. There are certain things you could only do with the keypad, but then there's only things you can do with the touchpad. Like you can only attack with the touchpad. Why can't you just like, and like you can't just press B with the touchpad. Like for somebody's just disabled, they couldn't, they've just said, oh, well, assign that to attack. And you can't change really the modes either. It's all got to be done. I mean, that just had blatantly obvious bad control. Now, but that's only that one instance. But the problem is that that wasn't slippery control. It wasn't just bad control, but it was just control that, you know, they could, it was easily remedied. That's what I don't like. I know there's a post going on the Lithcast forums about that Toxic started saying how he hates Super Smash Brothers, which I think you're crazy. But because I think Super Smash Brothers has got to be my favorite game of all time. And you know, Melee is great, and eventually it sort of went into this thing saying, well, the control slop, you know, you're using the side and B, and how the direction that you in the direction, you know, if you use left and B, then it's then it then it'll attack left. See, somehow I don't think that's so bad because that makes sense. I mean, you're right. So which Smash Brothers is different controls. I mean, you know, when you're the way you jump is through up. But that makes sense to me because if you look at the other moves that go with Super Smash Brothers, like up and B, they're used partially for recover. They're used for recovery, in addition to just you know, in addition to just you know, just for attack. So I mean, to me, I think Super Smash Brothers controls are perfectly fine because they're not. It's not stupid. Like I mean, if they made you. If Super Smash Brothers had done something like say, oh, you can't jump unless you press up with the C pad, with the C stick, like that would be just dumb. Because then they're completely ignoring the fact that you can easily just jump with the D pad. Well, sorry, with the analog stick. I mean that would be stupid. But that's what I'm talking, that's what I mean. So SSX has been pretty good. And as I say, we'll probably talk about Paper Mario soon. Came out April 9th. People seem to like it. Some people don't like it. It was sort of funny if for any of you guys who watch Game Jew, and he's kind of a neat character. His name's Jonathan Mann, and his website's gamejew.com, GameJew.com. And it's kind of a funny thing. He's got these movies. I mean, he does some very neat movies, and he's on ScrewAttack.com. He's very cool. He always sang a song for Miyamoto and all this stuff. But one of the, and you know, I gotta give credit to Toxic because he, you know, he sort of pointed out Screw Attack to me. So, but anyways, he does some neat things. And one of the things that he did was a, well, I shouldn't say this is neat, but he sort of reviewed Paper Mario. It was so funny to watch though, because he's playing it, and you can tell like he does, I mean, he's trying, I think he's sort of pretending to like it. But let me see if I can play a little bit of it. It's just it's interesting to see this. Okay, here we go.
So I'm playing Super Paper Mario. I know that for a long time I
Look
was
up the
singing all
volume
these
here.
songs about the Wii, and then I haven't really talked about it that much. Let's just look here for a
All right, but
sec.
let me skip ahead a bit here.
I was really thrilled when they announced that Super Paper Mario is coming out because it's a classic kind of side scroller. My only complaint right now, and it's not that big a complaint, is that there's a lot of, like, the RPG elements. I thought the RPG elements were just gonna be like leveling up and all that sort of stuff, which I think is fun, but there's a lot of talking. There's like a lot of talking. So right now, basically, I'm looking, the princess has fallen from the sky, and I'm looking for her. but I can't find her anywhere. And I don't know where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, so the point is that it's just sort of funny just how, you know, he sort of pretends to like it. But I mean, you know, a lot of people did like it. Wow, okay. A lot of people actually really did like it. And so I'm not going to say, oh, well, he doesn't, you know, he's just being a fanboy. But no, but really, a lot of people really did like it. So, I haven't played it myself, so I can't judge. That was the first big game release. The second big game release was Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. It came out April 22nd. That would be a week ago. And so it's been... As I said, it's been a great game for me, but I'll get into that a little bit more towards the end of the show. So anyways, that's fine. Anyway, so as far as news goes, so the first piece of news that I thought was kind of neat, and that, you know, I don't know exactly if this is, you know, I'm not going to, of course, talk about every single piece of news back from since the last podcast, but one kind of neat piece of news was that Nintendo... is like now the majority. I think they acquired a company. They acquired a company called Monolith, and the reason why I made this the first story is because I remember back when I was trying to decide on a name for the podcast. Back when I was trying to decide on a name for the podcast, I came up with Lith. Then I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to have Lith? .com. So I go to lith.com, see if it's taken. It's taken by this company or Monolith Software. And, you know, they, of course, have the name Lith for a different reason. They had lith.com, but we're lithcast.com, which I sort of like more anyway. But this is why it was sort of weird, because this is sort of something that's near and dear to my heart because of Lithcast and Monolith. But this is not actually, this is actually very, also, in addition to that, it's also just a very good acquisition. Monolith makes kind of some neat stuff. They make, I'm not really sure what they make here, but I know if you go to their website, you see little blurbs about fear and, you know, the fear, like the game, not just the emotion. So anyways, it's kind of cool though how Nintendo has now acquired this company that makes kind of these mature-esque games. And I'm sort of thinking, wow, just in time, because so I'm listening to Leo Laporte yesterday, and on his radio show on KFI. And he was talking about someone said, "Oh, I've got a non-high def TV, and so I want to get a PS2 or something." And So he said, "Well, you know what? You might as well get a Wii because it's, you know, there actually will be new titles coming out for it and stuff," which I sort of agreed with. But of course, you know, the PS2 obviously has that big library, which he did mention. But what was kind of weird is that what I just sort of didn't like was how he said, "Well, it depends. Are you play this by yourself or with a bunch of friends or and for." You know, it's sort of a set, and he said, "Well, if you're gonna play with a bunch of friends, a Wii is probably more appropriate. If you're gonna play it by yourself, then you go with an Xbox or something." And he said, I didn't like this one guy. He's like, "Well, you know what? If you're a real serious gamer, you know, you should just get an Xbox or get a PS2. But if you're kind of a not very hardcore gamer," I mean, this is not word for word. This is like words to that effect. I might be stretching it a bit, but he said, "You know, oh, if you're not a real hardcore gamer, oh, just get a Wii." And I thought, well, gee, that's kind of annoying, because I thought, you know, if you talk about games like Zelda, that's a pretty hardcore game. Now, you know, granted though, he's not exactly wrong, but because a lot of those games for the Wii are meant for, you know, not the the type of person that's going to sit down for hours on end, days on end maybe, and just play a game. Except for Zelda, there aren't really many games like that. So I think this is, and, you know, Monolith sort of makes that type of game. So I'm glad to see Nintendo acquire a company. Now, of course, yeah, they've got every right to acquire a company. If you look at their stock, which is the next piece of news, tech stocks did pretty well last week. A lot of things did well last week. The Dow crossed above 13,000. So we're talking about some big stock stuff. The Dow's at 13,120, so it's closed well above, that. I'll have to excuse me. I'm just looking here at the NASDAQ because I was wondering to see. Let me take a look at Nintendo here. So a lot of tech stocks did really well. I'm talking about Apple. Apple went over $100. It's probably back down. Oh wow, Nintendo's doing great. It was down 1.35% on Friday. But you know what? I bet you it's profit takers. So I'm gonna go to Nintendo stock here, and it's at $40.10. If we look at this like a year ago, where were they a year ago? Well, let's take a look. Let's get the chart up here. A year ago, they were at about. That's all this recording. The recording software on the screen, so it's sort of hard to see all the numbers, but. They were at it looks like they're about at 16 maybe. So the point is though, now they're at what, $40. And so this is very cool to see that they're at 40. A lot of it was because of the success of the DS, and certainly the Wii has been doing phenomenally well. Nintendo is, I just read they're planning. Well, let me get the story up. Read they were going to ramp up production on the Wii, they were on the front page of the Wall Street Journal yesterday about hacking the Wii remote. Let me see here. So there's a press release from last week. Let's see here. Press release says, this is a Nintendo press. This was an email I got from them. And it said, Nintendo once again claimed the top two spots among the best-selling new video game systems in America in March, according to independent sales data gathered by NPD Group. Despite widespread shortages for both systems, more than 500,000 buyers snapped up the portable Nintendo DS and Wii. Nintendo DS and Wii was once again the top-selling new home video game console. With the first quarter of 2007 now completed, Wii has already notched over 1 million systems sold in America this year. That's only America, by the way. While the DS now stands just shy of 1.25 million for the same period. Wii remains the fastest selling new console in more than a decade based on NPD sell-through information over the first 5 months of availability. So far this year, Nintendo has sold more video game systems than all the other manufacturers combined. This message delivered by both Wii and Nintendo DS is the same one, says Reggie Fils-Aimé, president of Nintendo of America. Innovation is compelling both current gamers and new gamers to experience a new way to play. Nintendo is bringing gaming back to the masses. While shipments of Wii hardware are expected to grow this month due to increased production, demand for the system remains at unprecedented levels, and it is destined only to intensify when the release Super Paper Mario and the impending release of Mario Party 8, which brings new experiences, blah, 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 blah. For Nintendo DS, the year's most anticipated software release so far will come with the arrival of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl arriving at retail on Sunday, which is, this is an older press release. So anyways, that's the first sort of sign that they were going to ramp up Wii production. Then there was another quote here from a Nintendo spokesperson says, quote, for the first 3 months of the year, we have been producing 1 million hardware units per month. We are increasing, this is the Wii, by the way. We are increasing the manufacturing capacity and forecast to ship 14 million this fiscal year to our distributors and retail customers globally. We have put solid production plans in place to ensure a steady flow of product through 2007. We are constantly replenishing Wii supplies. However, with such high demand, stock is flying off the shelves, so customers should continue to be in touch with their local retailers to confirm when new stock is arriving. And now the last thing is Iwata. Mr. Iwata was talked a little bit about production, specifically when. He says, and this is from next-gen.biz. And he says, quote, "We must do our best to fix this abnormal lack of stock. We have not been able to properly foresee demand. We will do our best to offer the machines for those who are waiting." And Mr. Watt expects the ramp up to be next month. And, you know, hopefully that will work. So anyways, we'll see about that. And there were a few other statements by Mr. Iwata. This was released April 27th. Here's basically what he said. This is from IGN. And he says there will be 45 Wii games and 79 DS games developed by Nintendo. And first information of these games will be at the end of the summer. Many of these games are, quote, real gamer games, such as Super Mario Galaxy. The next thing is Wii production will increase 14 million for the next fiscal year. In addition to that, increased Wii shipment should become apparent next month. The next thing is 2.5 million DS units are being made a month. This is topping the Game Boy Advance, which is producing 2.3 million a month. Mr. Iwata's goal is not to push hardware, but rather to sell software. The long-term final goal is 300 million units of software. I don't know exactly what is considered long-term, but anyways. The Wiimote and Nunchuck for first-person shooter games was talked about again, and Iwata says the Metroid Prime 3 corruption testers are saying the current setup feels very close to a keyboard and mouse. Next is Iwata hopes that EA can innovate with their sports titles due to the Wii Remote and Nunchuck. The next thing is 3.3 million virtual console titles were downloaded. Specific details on game basis were not given. Next thing is Iwata does not plan to bring their software to cell phones at this point. And lastly, Nintendo is already looking at a number of different options for hardware development on future consoles. So they're working on it. So that's good. That's good. Something else that I just sort of remembered that actually has happened since our last podcast, I believe, has been that the official or the full version of the Nintendo Opera browser has come out. Not Nintendo Opera. It's the browser for the Wii. And you can download it through the virtual console if you have. I'm sure most of you have already, but if you haven't, I've downloaded it myself. I've played around with it. You know what? I don't know if I like it that much better than the beta. I mean, they're both perfectly good. Now, you know, I guess I like the beta one better because it was the biggest thing was just getting the hurdle of, you know, controlling the internet with the Wii. Works great. Was able to load all my video. I sort of wish it was able to do Java. Can't. Wish it could. Can't, though. So anyway, that's kind of a neat thing. Download it from the virtual console. We have to do a software update that'll be able to get it. But you can get it then from the virtual console where it says WiiWare. I mean, where it says it's in the shop channel. In addition to that, I don't know. I saw this video, I believe it was yesterday or a few days ago, about this character from Mortal Kombat that's coming to the Wii named Meat or something. And he's kind of a creepy guy. So yeah, it wasn't a real good story, but anyways, the next piece of news is Pokemon Diamond and Pearl again, and it's another press release. it's really amazing how many they've sold. It was weird. I sort of wouldn't have expected this, but apparently Pokemon Diamond and Pearl sold 1 million units in 5 days. 1 million games, 5 days. Wow. Well, the reason I sort of can't believe it, I mean, if you had asked me, oh, you know, hey, Daniel Friedlander, do you think that the game will, you know, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl will combined sell 1 million games in the first 5 days? I would have said, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I thought it'd be a really popular game. I thought it'd be extremely popular. But for some reason, around here, it doesn't seem to be nearly as popular. And I have no idea why. It just, for some reason, it's like you go to the GameStop around here. At least on launch day, it was the case. I mean, of course, you know, I guess the launch day maybe was a Sunday. I mean, but it sort of seemed like, you had a lot. I mean, now that's what I saw that at one of my GameStops. I've heard about. Someone told me that they went to their GameStop. It was also here in San Diego, but they went to their GameStop and they didn't pre-order. They just said, "Hey, do you have a Diamond and Pearl around?" And he got Diamond, and the guy takes out a big box of them. Apparently, they had plenty. Now, I pre-ordered both Diamond and Pearl, and so I got these neat styluses, and I got the stylus holder. And I'm sitting here right now with the stylus holder. It's pretty nice. If you ask me, my favorite little giveaway, I'm actually digging around for it right now. My favorite giveaway that Nintendo's ever done for a Pokemon game, if you ask me, is probably Ruby and Sapphire. And if you ask me, those are probably one of the better Pokemon games so far. But, you know, I gotta say, Ruby and Sapphire had very cool giveaway prizes. They were these neat little coins. I mean, I don't know if you guys pre-ordered Ruby and Sapphire, but they were these neat little, like, coins. And they had, like, these holographic Groudon and Kyogre on them, and they were very, very neat. They felt really high quality. Where the stylus thing's cool and all, but the stylus is way too big to put in my DS, so I'm not going to be carrying this around very long. And you know what? Quite honestly, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, it's not a very stylus central game. Not for certain things like making poffins, not puffins, poffins. Yes, it is stylus central for certain, like for Pokemon competition related stuff, it's stylus central, but you know what, for the vast majority of everything, it's pretty much can all be done by the buttons. Now for certain games like Brain Age, I could see maybe them giving away a kind of a promotional stylus, and I guess, you know, I think about it, Ruby and Sapphire, it was not a very coin centric game, but they gave out coins. But I have both my Kyogre and my Groudon coin, and they're very cool. They're right up there with my Charles Martinet autographed DS and my Wii Remote that actually works as a remote. But it doesn't work for me because I'm not Japanese and I don't know how to program the darn thing. Anywho, so that's how that works. And I actually, I should have mentioned this earlier, but if you guys want to, that was the reason I'm going to mention this right now, is if you guys want to contact me, by the way, if you can't use the contact form and you can't use the audio form, you can always send an email to us at nintendopod@gmail.com or nintendocast@gmail.com. It doesn't really matter which one. I will get your email either way. Don't send it to both unless you really are really paranoid like that. But anyway, so like I said, send that to us. And the reason I asked is that I'm wondering, maybe I'll post this on the forums. I'm wondering if anyone, they're obviously still making Pokemon cards. Now, Wizards of the Coast isn't doing it anymore. I think Nintendo's doing it themselves. But at least, I'm talking about here in the States. I'm not talking about everywhere. Who knows? Maybe it's just the West Coast. I don't think Wizards of the Coast is doing it anymore. So I'm wondering if anyone here plays Pokemon cards anymore. I mean, I don't know anybody who does. I certainly know a lot of people, myself included, who have a drawer just filled to the brim with Pokemon cards, and I certainly do. And you know, it's funny. I dig through them sometimes, and I see, wow, I got some great cards. I had, like, my first edition Dark, you know, Rockets Charizard, and I had some good stuff. But you know, I mean, now it's all obsolete because now they can have HPs over 120. And anyways, and now they have levels. So I mean, you know, now it's a whole new game. But I'm just, you know, wondering if anyone here is still plays Pokemon, the trading card game. I wonder. Quite honestly, though, for me, it was probably one of the, when I was into it, it was sort of probably one of the biggest money waste things. I mean, you know, I could say about video games, but I think I get more enjoyment out of the video games, and I think they're not as I shouldn't say they're not as important. I mean, you know, you don't always I don't know what to say. How's this? But I mean, for example, a booster pack was like $3. I mean, come on, for 11 cards, $3. Now, of course, if you have one card in that booster pack that's worth more than $3, that's great. But if you don't, you know, you don't. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, what are the cards worth now? I don't know. Now, I have, quite honestly, I have not sold any of my Pokemon cards. A lot of people have. I don't use them anymore, but I have not sold them. They are just sitting there gathering dust. But I intend to keep them there. So anyways, just curious to know if you guys still play. Next story is kind of neat. I've sort of gone on that. I'm sort of now have a new policy now, which is that for the Wii, if you've got a high def television or really an ED TV, which is, I don't think really very many of you have, but if you guys have a TV that supports 480p, yeah, I now encourage very highly for people, the first peripheral they should get for their Wii. It's component cables. I have component cables myself. Paid about $20 for them from Nintendo. And I really think that component cables are great. I mean, they really make... I mean, it's funny. You think, oh, well, damn, you know, all you're doing is just turning that 480, you know, that 720 by 480 pixels from interlaced into progressive. And it's funny. You know, you'd think it wouldn't make it... I mean, but it makes a huge difference. It really does. Even on a high-def TV. I've got a 1080p television, and it... looks head and shoulders hot, better than 480i does with composite cables, because it's just the component cables can just transfer more data. It's got three channels of video and two channels of audio. The now composite's got one channel of video, and it's got two channels of audio. It's the same audio, unless we, but the reason I bring this up is because there's a deal on, I'll have to post this in the show notes, but there's a deal on Wii component cables. Let's write this down here. I mean, they're cheap cables, but you know, I don't think, personally, I'm one of those people who's of the belief that cables don't much matter. Now, for certain things like audio, yes, because it's, now, for, depends for, depends what it is. For certain things like audio, when you're talking about, analog, sometimes it matters, because you sometimes shielding will matter. For digital type cables, it really doesn't matter. Now, I think components analog anyway. But anyways, the point is, though, I'll put a link on it in the show notes, but it's a website called meritline.com. They've got component cables for $8.99. I mean, it's such a cheap, and they're for the Wii, by the way. And it's such a cheap, and it's free shipping. It's a 6-foot cable, so it's just as long, if not longer, than the Nintendo one. I mean, and I think, quite honestly, though, I mean, for $8, I think it's the best peripheral you can buy, honestly. I don't think there's anybody who shouldn't have component cables, unless, of course, your TV does not support component. But I think there's very few people who shouldn't have component cables, and I think it's one of the best upgrades you can do. It's funny because, I mean, sometimes when I have to go give a gift to somebody, and it's someone who owns a Wii, I sort of feel off getting component cables, because it makes such a big difference. And it's, I mean, in my opinion, and you could say maybe I'm a videophile, but I mean, I'm really not. So, you know, and these look like pretty good component cables. And look at the packaging; they actually almost look like they're higher quality than the Nintendo ones. But as I say, it looks very good. So I just wanted to bring that up. Like I said, my new tirade sort of now for people, you know, people I know, I'm not going to go and tell all of you buy component cables, but I'm just saying, if you ask me, you know, I mean, if you ask, oh, do I need to get a fan for my Wii or something? Do I need to get you know, something to cool it down? Well, I mean, you really don't. I mean, there's, I think I found maybe one or two people that I know. I don't know that I've run into that. I'd say, you know what, get a fan. I mean, there's that, which I think is kind of neat. You know, you can get a fan, but you know what? A much more sensible and cheaper upgrade is component cables. And If you want to cough up 19 bucks, you don't have to. You can cough. You can only cough up 9 if you want. So the next thing is Coca-Cola is giving you a chance to win a Wii and or a DS. So if you guys drink Coca-Cola, there's Coke points, and with those points, you can go to their website and buy some stuff. Now, you know, here's the thing. It's a lot of points. For a DS, it's 3,250 points. You're going to weigh a lot if you drink that much Coke. But I mean, so I told you the Wii. If you want to win them both, then you'll... It's for the Wii, it's 6,250 Coke points. And then Coca-Cola will send you a Nintendo Wii. That may actually be a good deal, though, because, heck, then that way you could at least get one. Probably spend more on the Coke, but anyways. The next thing is that Wendy's, and, you know, I mean, for in the States, anyways. I keep saying in the States because I just know that there's the... We have our, you know, our international listeners, but they're a fast food chain here in the States, and, you know, I don't go to Wendy's, but they've got some, like, you know, like, you know, you know, like the little toys they put in, like, the you know, the kids' meals. They've got some Wii based ones. They got an Excite truck. They've got a, you know, like a, you know, like a Wii Sports baseball thing. They've got a Mario on a shell. They've got a Wii remote keychain. They've got some neat things. So just go to Wendy's.com and maybe take a look at that. Let's see, what else do we have? Well, you know, the next thing, of course, is that Zelda Phantom Hourglass, the sort of the Wind Waker sequel for the Nintendo DS, is coming out, quote, holiday season 2007. And so that would be this year. And so that's good for all of you who have been waiting for that game. It certainly is a, you know, kind of a neat-looking game. I mean, if you liked Wind Waker, you'll probably like Phantom Hourglass. I mean, I'm so satisfied with Diamond and Pearl. It's like, it's not really on the radar screen for me. And then the next piece of news is that there's sort of been two games that have not really been talked about a lot. The Nintendo's, we saw a bit at E3. There's Disaster Day of Crisis, which, by the way, Monolith is working on, apparently. The company I mentioned earlier was acquired by Nintendo. But also Project Hammer, and that's a dot between every little letter of Hammer. And there's a little preview of it, actually, at advancedmn.com. And what's kind of cool is, I mean, it's not really, you know, I don't necessarily say I, you know, so I think it's sort of like it's a robot smashing type game. So, if you like it, you like it. I mean, I can't say we've seen enough to really say, oh, it's going to be a terrible game. Oh, it's going to be a great game. Can't say we've seen enough. And, the next thing is that, I'm trying to think, is there any other news? Well, I think the last piece of news is that there's been some neat, Super Mario Strikers, footage. Release, and I'll post a link to that to the show notes. And in case you're wondering, I keep saying the show notes, and I've been saying the show notes for a while. I mean, I've been saying for the last few podcasts. In case you're wondering where you can get these show notes, odds are if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already have the show notes. The show notes are a little text file that comes bundled with the RSS feed. It comes, you know, comes with the audio file, and in iTunes, just click the little I next to the track name. And if you're on lithcast.com listening to this, it should just be right here, right below the player, right below the little player there. And you can view the show notes there, click on the links, do all that fun stuff in case you're wondering what the show notes are. So, anyways, I think that's it for the news. The next thing I want to do is, I mean, you know, of course, this is Lithcast, so we sort of like to do a little bit of discussion here. Before we do the discussion, though, I wanted to read a letter. Letter or two. Let's see what we got here. Let me check the Lithcast mailbox. Well, yeah, we got one letter here. This is concerning Super Mario Strikers. It's from our good friend Sam Rose in the UK, or Sosamuck, if you're on the forums. And Sam writes, just a quick boast, as I've never really been able to do it. Europe is getting Strikers charged before the US. Also, we got Wii Play before you. I know you usually get all the games before us, but finally Nintendo is looking after the Europeans. Yay. Long live the Queen, Sam Rose. So anyways, yeah, no, he's right. He's absolutely right. The they are getting Super Mario. They did get Wii Play before. Wii Play did not get very good reviews. I have not been able, but it's funny, I haven't been able to get my hands on a copy. I don't know if they're making very many of them or what. I mean, every time I go to the game store and say, hey, do you have a copy of Wii Play? They say, oh, no, sold out. We should be getting them later this week. And it's funny, then I come back later this week and they said, well, you know what, we should be getting them later this week. And so I don't even know if, I almost wonder if it's even out in the United States. Or at least, I wonder if it might be out. I'm just kidding. I'm sure. I know it's out. But it doesn't seem to be getting great reviews. I mean, haven't heard, like I said, haven't heard real great reviews. It doesn't seem like to be a lot of enthusiasm behind that game. As far as Super Mario Strikers charged, it sort of makes sense. I think the Europeans sort of are more bigger soccer fans than we are here in the United States. So you guys pretty, no, but you know, you guys have earned a game first. I mean, we in the United States, we got the DS first, we got the Wii first, and then Japan, they get the Pokemon games first. They basically it's either US or Japan getting the games first. Now, actually, there were some weird things. Sometimes you do get some weird release dates. Like Australia got the DS Lite like a week before we did here in the United States, but Japan got it way before everyone. But anyways, you get the idea. That's sort of how it works. And I mean, congratulations, Sam, on getting the Super Mario Strikers charged. And by the way, Sam Rose here works at Game, which is sort of like our electronics boutique equivalent, our EB Games equivalent, in Europe or in the UK anyway. So now you know. So that's the letter. So I want to talk a little bit about Diamond and Pearl, and then I think we'll conclude the podcast. But I want to talk a little bit about Diamond and Pearl. So Pokemon Diamond and Pokemon Pearl are really the first real Pokemon games to come out in a while. You know, I mean, it's funny. I consider a real Pokemon game to be something like Red Version, Blue Version, Gold, Silver, Crystal, those types of games. And you know what? What has traditionally happened is, and what, you know, if you want to know what I consider the most recent real game, this is sort of tough for me to tell you what exactly I consider the most recent real game, because you know how Pokemon games generally work is you've got the two games, then you've got the one game, so you have the two games that come out in a pair, and you got the one game with that has a lot of the elements of the first of those two games plus a few extra elements. So take for example Pokemon Red and Blue Version, and then maybe a year later we get Pokemon Yellow Version, you know, Pokemon Yellow Version, which is basically like Red and Blue Version, but it's got a few more colors to it. It's got a few more features to it, and you got a Pikachu following you around. Well, okay, fast forward to Gold Version, and you see you got Gold Version, Silver Version, you got Lugia and Ho-Oh, and then you've got Crystal Version, which came out of, which is sort of a like Gold and Silver, but with a little more Suicune focus to it. Then you've got Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and this is kind of interesting because before Ruby and Sapphire, because then you had Ruby and Sapphire, but then after Ruby and Sapphire, I believe you actually had Fire Red and Leaf Green. Yeah, I believe you had Fire Red and Leaf Green before you had Emerald. But either way, Emerald, like I mean, Fire Red and Leaf Green were both remakes of Red and Blue Version, and those were almost completely different. But then you talk about Emerald Version, which is encompassed Ruby and Sapphire, plus the elements of the Battle Frontier, and so what you see is this pattern here of these games like this. But the problem is, for a while, and this doesn't really happen that often, we saw a lot of Pokemon games, especially this just happened for some reason when the DS came out. For the DS, we saw all these Pokemon games, because Pokemon has sort of been traditionally a handheld franchise. We saw all these Pokemon games that they weren't real Pokemon games. You had Pokemon Dash, Pokemon Ranger, Pokemon Blue Rescue Team, Pokemon Red Rescue Team. And I have a friend who actually beat Ranger. And the only purpose, according to him, is to beat Ranger is to get Manaphy for Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. And those sound like a lot of fun. I played those games at E3, and they were not fun at all. I played them at Comic-Con, played them at E3, and they were not fun at all. And it bugged me for a while, because they were basically if you ask me, they were just using the Pokemon name just to sell copies. And, of course, and Trozzi. Let's not forget Trozzi. How can I forget Trozzi? I actually like Trozzi, but as a puzzle game, not as a Pokemon game. But I definitely know they obviously just slapped that on just to sell it, because the plot had nothing to do with Pokemon. It's just like, okay, we got bad guys. What should they be stealing? Well, we'll have them steal Pokemon, so we can steal a Pokemon name and slap it on in the game. Diamond and Pearl, though, is a real game. And you know what? By the way, I do consider the games like XD and Colosseum and Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2. I do consider those real Pokemon games. Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2, I consider less so. And Pokemon Snap, while a very good non-Pokemon game, it is a Pokemon game, but non-RPG Pokemon game, I wouldn't consider it. But it's Pokemon Snap, actually, it would be very cool to see it come out for the Wii, because now that you have the pointer device, would actually be very cool to see for the Wii if you had a Pokemon Snap 2 for the Nintendo Wii. That's a very neat idea, actually. So anyway, so like as I was saying, I consider XD and Colosseum to be closer to a real Pokemon game than Pokemon Stadium 1 and Pokemon Stadium 2, because of the fact that it really is an RPG, and you're battling people, and it's really very similar to a regular Pokemon game. It's just done in 3D. But the thing that really put Pokemon on the map was its two-dimensional role-playing game that was very good. And Diamond and Pearl is a true Pokemon game. It's the first one for the DS. It's sort of a shame that they put so many of these junky games like Trozzi and Ranger. Now I might get emails from you guys saying, "Hey, wasn't a bad game at all. I loved Ranger. In fact, it's my favorite game of all time." Well, that doesn't apply to me anyway. I mean, I don't think it's my favorite game of all time. Anyways, and of course we got Pokemon Battle Revolution, which I'd have to see that to see if it was a real RPG, but I think it's going to be pretty good. So anyways, with Pokemon Diamond and Pearl, let me just tell you a little bit about it. It's great to see a real Pokemon game, like I say. This time they got a whole new region. It's called the Sinnoh region. So what we had is in Red version, we had Kanto, however you want to say it. In Gold and Silver and Crystal, we had Johto. Of course, this applies to Fire Red and Leaf Green, also had the Kanto region. And then in Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, we had Hoenn, and now we have the Sinnoh region, Sinnoh. Well, the Sinnoh region is where you're from, a place called Twin Leaf Town instead of Pallet Town, and as opposed to Pallet Town or Little Root. As opposed to that, you're from a place called Twin Leaf, and basically how it works is that you have a friend who you name, and he's kind of a weirdo, and basically. It's the same sort of typical thing. The plot line in this game is not as strong as it usually is, if you ask me. But you will basically, you'll see this professor and he'll drop his briefcase and then you'll be in trouble or something. And you'll have to pick one of the Pokemon, either the penguin named Piplup, the turtle guy named Turtwig, or the monkey named Chimchar. I picked up Piplup, by the way, the penguin, and he's already like a level 58 Empoleon right now, and I do not regret taking Piplup at all. I gotta say, I really am very happy with that choice, because I don't like the other guys, but there are people I know that do like the other guys. So, I picked them. Basically, then you do sort of the same thing, and you sort of go on a Pokemon quest. you eventually find out these three legendary Pokemon that sort of created the Sinnoh region, and the team, instead of being Team Rocket, or, you know, it's Team Galactic, and Team Galactic is sort of bent on world domination and, like, destroying the world and making a new one, that, you know, it's sort of ruled by them. And then what you do is that you just try stopping them through the power of Pokemon. So you do that, and, I mean, right now where I am, in case you're wondering where I am, I've gotten 7 badges. There are 8 badges. I've gotten 7 badges, and I'm at the point in the game where I just freed all the three legendary Pokemon, and I've got to go up to the mountain, and I've got to try stopping the Team Galactic commander guy from, I don't know, destroying the world or something. So this is sort of a high point in the game. I still have to get to the top of Mount Coronet. The mountain's called Mount Coronet. Still have to get to the top of Mount Coronet. I can't, for the life of me, though, I can't figure out which way to go. I tried starting at Hearthrome City, and you know what? For some reason, it's not working. Anyways, or maybe I need Rock Climb. I don't know. And I don't have that yet, even though I have the badge to use it. I haven't beaten the game. Like I said, I've gotten 7 badges, so I've gotten pretty far in the game. But there are other neat little features to the game. There is the Pokemon competitions, which are a little more involved than they used to be. Instead of just being, you know, how your Pokemon looks, I mean, it's, you know, you actually get to dress up your Pokemon. You get to, you know, like, put mustaches on it, and then they rate your Pokemon. You know, there's actually a dance competition, which is sort of like DDR, Dance Dance Revolution, for the Pokemon. And it's sort of a screen tapping game. It's only 3 steps, though. It's imitate the Pokemon before you. So it's not. And then after that, then there's also the move competition, which you're all probably pretty familiar with. And this game is a little bit different because instead of performing for one judge, you can pick one of 3 judges to perform for, and it's very strategic because you have to pick what, you know, which one has the high, which one has good, you know, which one's voltage are you going to be able to get up, and, you know, sorts of stuff like that. So it's strategic like that, and then you can get ribbons, and, you know, just like the old games, instead of using Pokeblocks, though, you're going to be using something called Poffins. And what Poffins are is that there's these things you make out of berries. You know, you find berries, and you sort of stir them, and you make Poffins. You cook them. Sort of like Cooking Mom, actually. So you make Poffins. And Poffins make your Pokemon look better or look smarter. Depends what competition you want to enter with your Pokemon. So another neat little thing you can do with it is you can now use Nintendo Wi-Fi connection to play over the internet. So I've got a friend who has the game. He's not very far. His guy's only like level 18, but he's not. But anyways, I played him over Wi-Fi. You can do trades. You can do battles. It's very cool because I was able to do voice chat over it. It was very good quality voice chat. And it's not like with Metro, we have to press a button to do the voice chat. It's just constantly listening to you, and it'll shut off the mic when you're not talking. It was very cool. I was able to battle him. I was able to talk while battling. So it was all very cool. I did this over Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. So it all worked very, very well. In this game, you could also do kind of weird. What else can you do that's kind of weird? There's got to be some other features here. There's, of course, now they've brought back from Gold and Silver version the presence of a real-time clock, which is good because it kind of adds some depth. Now, you know, it's funny. I sort of don't like it sometimes because sometimes I wish stuff would just go faster. Or sometimes I'm in the Safari Zone, in a place called, I think it's Pastoria City. I'm in the Safari Zone here, and I want to catch something, but it's like, well, it's daytime, and I can't catch it now. And sometimes there's certain Pokemon. There's one Pokemon that appears at the Windworks only on Fridays, which is kind of annoying. So, you know, it's, you know, but, you know, sometimes a clock is kind of neat. You do have a little application thing you carry around with you. It's called your Poke Etch. It's a little watch, and they can put applications on it. It's got a step counter. It's got an item tracker. It's got a step counter, item tracker. It's got a, you know, it's very good for breeding. You got this little happiness monitor for your Pokemon. You've got a what else? I mean, you collect different applications throughout the game. But what is kind of cool is that, well, actually, what I wish they actually, I wish they had a map application. But anyways, so you get these applications, you don't have to buy them. You just sort of get them, and it works. It's very, very cool. There are some other things. There's this kind of like underground world. Beneath all the whole map, there's an underground world where you can dig for treasures and spheres, and it's very neat. You can use them, and you can buy stuff, and you can use them to make your underground base cooler. And very, very neat game. I actually very highly recommend this game to anybody. I really can't think of it. I can think of very few people that would not enjoy this game. I really like this game. I'm not going to give it a review yet. I mean, I'll talk a little bit more. I'll do a demonstration of most of these features on a Lithcast video that we do, and I'll, you know, like I said, be doing that later this week. So anyways, I think we'll be wrapping up this Lithcast. If anything I forgot, you can go and send me an email at NintendoPod or NintendoCast@gmail.com. I encourage you to join the forums, lithcast.com/forums, or just go to lithcast.com, click the forums button. We're always glad to have you. A great moderator, Storm, is doing a great job. One thing I should announce, though, is that if you go there and you look for the GameCube board, I did fuse it into the retro board. I put the forums on maintenance mode for about 10 or 15 minutes on Friday night at about midnight Pacific to do some maintenance, and one of those maintenance things was to combine the GameCube board now into the retro board, because now it has been replaced by the Wii, and also by popular demand, it has been requested to be put in the retro board. And heck, we haven't had posts in there for months. So, in case you're wondering where that is, it's a child board of the GameCube. So if you go to retro board, at the very top it says GameCube. So it's a little child. It's a child board, and I made it a child board so that we could keep the structure. In addition to that, go ahead and go drop by our merchandise store, lithcast.com. Click on the store button. Check our affiliates page. Also, as I mentioned before, we don't keep any profits from the store. And another way, of course, to support us is by clicking the ads at the end of our videos. It's greatly appreciated. It's great to keep this podcast going. It's great, you know, it's great to be in front of the mic again. It's been a few months, or no, I just can't, it's been a few weeks. And I also encourage you to go to the Folding team. That's folding.stanford.edu. Download the software, GUI text or screensaver client, Mac, Windows, or Linux. Or PlayStation 3, heck. Now they got a PlayStation 3 client if you feel so inclined. Actually, the PlayStation 3 one does a very, very good job. It's very customized for the PS3. Download that. Also, be sure to use the T number 45501 so that you can donate your work units in the name of Nintendo and the Nintendo podcast. That number again is 45501. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed Lithcast 31, and this is Daniel Friedlander signing off, and I will see you at the next Lithcast, which will hopefully be very soon. All right, have a good week.